Fellas, you know Degree Cool Rush deodorant, right? Well, last year they changed the formula, and guys were mad about it. One dude even started a petition. So guess what? Degree heard us, admitted they messed up, and brought the original Cool Rush scent back exactly how it was. And it's in Walmart, Target, and other stores now for under $4. So grab some and remember why its cool, crisp, and fresh scent made it the number one men's antiperspirant for the last decade. Degree Cool Rush is back, and it smells like victory for all of us.
This episode is brought to you by Chevy Silverado. When it's time for you to ditch the blacktop and head off-road, do it in a truck that says no to nothing. The Chevy Silverado Trail Boss. Get the rugged capability of its Z71 suspension and 2-inch factory lift. Plus, impressive torque and towing capacity thanks to an available Duramax 3-liter turbo diesel engine. Where other trucks call it quits, you'll just be getting started. Visit Chevy.com to learn more.
I'll tell you what.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
With the 144th pick, the Cleveland Browns select Shedeur Sanders, quarterback.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Off the inbound, LeBron James will trigger it. Dangerous pass is knocked away.
This is the playoffs. Fatigue shouldn't play any role in this.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky. Senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Coming up, former NFL general manager Mike Mayock. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yeah. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We've been very NFL draft heavy, and why not? A record amount of individuals watched all three networks covering it, NFL Network, ABC, and ESPN. I know for a fact NFL Network broke a ton of records.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about it, and plus, you know, we always have football on the brain here. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Mike Mayock will join us to give us the final word on this show for the NFL draft. 844-204-RICH is, again, the number to dial here on the show. We haven't talked about the NBA playoffs at all here. Remember last year's first round was just blowout central?
Oh,
this
so
been the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Been the exact opposite. Some of these games, man, the Nuggets and the Clippers have played some epic ones, and yeah. Susie brought the kids on Saturday night while I was sitting there on the draft set.
Oh, they went to that game?
They did indeed. And
oh,
Coop,
wow.
Coop is like giving me a little bit of an update, and I looked down. I'm like, wow, it's tied. And then I looked down, and it said end of the fourth tied on my phone. I'm like, overtime. And he just texted me back. My phone buzzed, and I go to the commercial break, and he goes, no OT. And I'm like, what is that? What the hell happened? Then I just looked at it, and Jokic throwing one up, and
no box out.
Crazy.
Like,
no,
come on.
No box out.
No box out
true.
Whatsoever. You know, I had to take
man,
my
Aaron
fandom
Gordon
out of
just
it.
Throwing that thing down. And I thought,
I
with his
tell,
hand
man.
On it, you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Couldn't
like,
tell.
Like, Zan was like, should there be, like, a camera inside the cylinder? And I'm like, how do you do that?
I don't know. They had every angle, really. You could get a great look at it. It was as bang-bang as bang-bang and tie goes to the runner goes. You know, I thought it was kind of good as it happened.
The difference between 3-1 and 2-2, right? Right
Clippers
there.
Clippers really could have swept yeah. this series, to be honest.
I told you we were going to win a series. Now I'm a little nervous. I thought that game was kind of in the bag. Still
be in the bag? Weren't you down 20?
Yeah, but I mean, coming at the – when you make a comeback like that, you kind of feel like all the momentum's on your side, and yeah. it kind of feels like, all right, we battled back. They battled back to this point.
No box out. You know who should have helped you take with the box? That was Van Gundy. Van Gundy would have stood there.
Oh, he definitely would have stood there. I'm surprised he didn't yell it out.
Man, that was unreal. And then the Knicks and the Pistons coming down to the end.
Pistons
by the way,
could be up 3-1 in that series.
Carl Anthony Towns, my guy, our guy, your guy, TJ.
I mean,
he had some big shots at the end.
Let me tell
man.
You, dude, the fadeaway jumper on the baseline mm-hmm. from behind the backboard and in looked just like Patrick Ewing.
It was pretty sick.
A fadeaway, big man, baseline jumper, yep. and then he shot the three to put him up.
Oh, from like 28 feet.
It was
way deep.
His, you know, welcome to New York playoff moment was right there. He nailed it. And then Josh Hart definitely contacted Tim Hardaway Jr.
How do you not get that call at home, though? Like, the road, it's one thing.
You know what drives me even more nuts is immediately after the game, they don't even wait for the two-minute report. We're just like, oh, yeah, we should have called the foul on that.
I mean,
like, just call the foul in the first place. It was so obvious.
I mean, I hope they don't find JB Bickerstaff for being out on the floor.
Oh, he was, I mean, you could read his lips. you know, that's a bleepity bleep foul.
But, and I mean, right. hey, might have been a foul underneath the basket, you know, trying to get the ball, loose ball. I mean, there's lots of ways to go about it.
Yeah. I mean, look, Cade had a wide
lots
open.
Lots of stuff.
Cade had a wide open jumper. He should, I mean, make the shot.
I thought he was going to make it.
Make the 15 footer.
He had a triple double. He was unreal.
He's awesome. Talk about a superstar right. blossoming before our
right.
eyes.
And the know. Same thing with the Pistons, too.
Yep.
Right. Damian Lillard blowing out his Achilles, it looks like.
Not official yet, but does look that
when
way.
They weren't talking about it on the broadcast last night, but when he grabbed the underside of his left ankle, it wasn't his ankle, when he grabbed, I thought to myself, oh no, really? Because he needed help. He also couldn't get up.
The way he just sat there and he had a look on his face every time that happens to somebody, it's like they know, and he knew.
And on the play, his back leg was stretched so far out, you know, from his body, and then it just, he kind of rolled over.
And Halliburton going to the podium as soon as it was, as soon as he got there, the first thing he said is a shout out to Dame, and everything he says that you see between me and Dame is all competition related. Competition related. It's nothing personal. And so
he's one of the all-time greats.
The Pacers are up 3-1, and then you've got the Timberwolves.
T-Wolves?
That's all they're doing is proving to the Lakers what Anthony Edwards got fined for saying is bigger. Am I wrong?
What, Rudy's bank account?
His wallet and something else.
Rudy's got $200 million.
That's all they're showing, you know?
You know what that series has also shown me? You remember Ant's role, his character in that Adam Sandler movie? That's who he really is. He was not acting in that movie.
No one's. I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis isn't that great of an actor, you know?
He's really that dude in Hustle.
J.J. Redick getting a ton of heat today because he didn't have a single substitution in the second half, and the Lakers were quote-unquote gassed.
Well, he took a page from Tibbs' book, I guess, right?
But Anthony Edwards, 43-9-6. And the Timberwolves are up 3-1. And LeBron's Lakers with Luka, only one win so far. They're going to have to come home, come up with the dub, force a game 6, and then force another game 7 to become the 14th team to come back from a deficit down 3-1. Last team to do it was, I think, in the Orlando bubble. Did I hear that yesterday during the broadcast?
It was, the Nuggets came back from 3-1 to beat the Clippers.
The bubble. One series that's over, right. Oklahoma City, wrapping up Memphis. The Cavs should be wrapping up the Heat. So it looks like right now, Celtics, Knicks, Pacers, Cavs. It looks like, again,
top seeds move
we'll
on.
See what happens with the Warriors, correct?
They play tonight. We're going to find out.
And
they're up 2-1.
It's a jump ball between the Nuggets and the Clippers. And it looks like the Timberwolves will move on, right?
And that's how it looks right now.
And with the Lakers struggling like this, I mean, the rim protector, as soon as they made that trade, we're like, oh my God. And then once the oh my God was done, it's just like, who is going to protect that rim?
What's funny underneath is we brought that up when it happened, and people were like, you guys don't know basketball. Well,
Jackson Hayes needs to grow up pretty damn fast. And it doesn't help that there's Rudy Gobert over there and everyone else just putting their Dirk Digglers on the table.
Eddie
from Minnesota, man.
Yeah.
Right?
Sean's making it official right now. Dame Lillard did.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible.
Towards Achilles.
So that's what it looks like. Pacers, Cavs will be quite something. And Boston, New York, like old school. Hey, man, the fact that the Celtics look like they're looking and they didn't have Tatum for one and they're not playing Holiday till hopefully his hamstring's fine. They're not playing him until the next round. No, they don't have to.
I can't imagine.
They don't have to. Sit him out. My God.
I just love everyone.
Keep rolling one guy after another. Yeah.
Everyone keeps sleeping on Jason Tatum. He gets so much slag in the media. He's not this. He's not that. Dude has the most 30-point playoff games in the NBA. Since 2020.
And only second most in the history of the Celtics. Only Larry Bird has more.
He was really good.
You know.
That Larry Bird
guy. In terms of Jason Tatum's performance, here's Steve Kerr. Wait a minute. I'm told we don't have that sound.
Yeah.
Rich, don't do that to me.
I told you, Steve. I told you. Like, I told you he messed up over the summer.
You can't do that.
I tried to tell you.
What's wrong with you, man?
I tried to tell you.
All he did was create a monster out of Jason Tatum. Well, I would hope that Jason Tatum would have already been, you know.
Well, he's already a monster. No one really recognizes it. Duke gets cheap-shotted more. What's going on in Orlando? Those guys are dirty
players. You want to talk about cheap shots?
Jeez.
Bob, how about Steph Curry? Is he getting cheap-shotted or what? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
They are. That looks like the Texans more than the Rockets.
I'm really liking this series so far.
This is fun.
It's really fun. Jalen Green and Draymond Green going back and forth. Yeah,
and you know what I realized a lot about Steph, and I've always realized this about him, Chris, but it's very subtle, the things he does with his hands and his arms, the way he'll hook a guy going to the rack, or the way he pushes. And it's so subtle. You really have to, like, watch him in slow motion. But he does, man. He just creates, and he only needs that much space anyway to get a shot or get past you. But he's awesome at just giving himself that slight advantage. And
Coop said that Intuit Dome was louder than SoFi.
Oh, it's better than SoFi.
But he said, which is, by the way, SoFi is really loud, but that's
SoFi's
also because
really loud.
They're constant. No, I asked him, I'm like, hey, was anybody screaming whose house it was? and Susie agreed, because she went to some regular season games there as well. Playoff basketball in Intuit Dome is loud.
I wouldn't know yet. So
loud.
I'll take their word for it.
Well, go to game six. You know, they need you.
Yeah,
Clipper TJ. We need Clipper TJ there, man.
My boy Jimmy Jackson. See if he might get me in the back door into it or something.
What do you need the back? What are you talking about?
Why not?
Just hock the pool table or the ping pong table already.
Oh, he showed me a picture.
Of what? Of the box? Is it 3 years, one from
it's
the Price is
literally
Right?
Oh,
my God.
Leaning against the wall next to his front door.
Can we help with this
I only
process,
see it
please?
When I walk in. Then you don't see it until you leave again. So it's
Jeff
like
in Detroit.
Out of sight.
Let's take Jeff in Detroit's number call. What's up, Jeffrey? How are you?
Jeff.
Wonderful. What's happening, cousins?
Yo. You Jeff, guys where you
wonderful,
been, man?
Wonderful show. Down in Green Bay, you guys tore the city up. It was cool seeing that. First of all, Detroit got screwed. You know how it goes. And then I hear my Uncle Rich in my ear. You got to play better than the ref, which is oh so true. But, Unc, I like to give you a shout-out, my brother, because, listen, you stood up on that set Friday, went against Joel Klatt, man for man, pushed back on what he was saying, and you look like the Godfather while you were doing it with the turtleneck and the blazer on, baby. I'm just telling you, you put on a hell of a show. You and your crew did a wonderful, wonderful job on that NFL set, bringing us the draft.
I appreciate that, Jeff. Thank you so much. Everything was great. You know, Green Bay compared to Detroit. The only thing different was, you know, us getting picked up at the airport by a perfect stranger, Jeff. You know what I mean? That was different this time around as opposed to the last time.
It was not the same, man. It was not the same.
Yes.
I got a quick question for you.
Yes, Jeff.
I've been hearing about this Bill Belichick soundbite. What's going on with that?
Oh, Jeff.
I'm in the dark. What's going on?
What do you mean you're in the dark? What do you mean you're in the dark about
that? I'm just getting on the road, and I just heard somebody just mention, did you hear what Bill Belichick said?
Yeah, well,
his girlfriend or something. Well, and I'm like, no, I didn't hear.
CBS this morning, is that what it was?
CBS Sunday Morning.
CBS Sunday Morning was doing an interview with Bill for his new book. He's got a new book or something like that.
He's got a new book about leadership. And
his lady friend was off to the side and was chiming in during the interview process. And CBS, what's the words for it, felt compelled or comfortable enough to include it in their final piece. Jeff, so it's people are talking about it. That's for sure.
I'm gonna look it up.
Thank people you. Are talking about it. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
All right, Jeff.
And since we're talking about CBS and business decisions being made in the news department these days, everybody should check out the way 60 Minutes closed up last night.
Yeah, I was watching that this morning.
You know, just wondering if CBS would have cut the final cut of their interview with Bill the same way if Bill was still the head coach of the perennial Super Bowl favorites that CBS would put on the air all the time. Just wondering. Throwing that out there. But it's also, conversely, not usual to see any PR person jump in from the side and interject, "We're not talking about that," into the interview.
Also, a pretty simple question of how did you meet?
How'd you meet?
But that story's kind of been well told about the airplane and the book.
I guess I don't know. You know, we don't traffic in interpersonal relationships like that sort of thing, but. I mean,
well, this one's different.
I know. Bill's showing up on our IG, and I don't know, man. But I saw that. I'm like, wow, that's not the greatest look. And then I thought to myself, they made a decision sitting in the edit room. Do we include this? Is this part of the story? Mm-hmm. And they're a news division. It's not a sports division. And plus, I don't know. Did somebody do the calculus of how many Tar Heel games are going to show up on CBS? Well, if it does, I will. I would feel for the broadcast team that's got to sit in his office.
I don't think CBS is the ACC, so I don't know. I think they're good.
I don't know. You never know. At any rate, 844-204. We weren't even going to talk about it, but Jeff in Detroit did. 844-204 Rich is the number to dial. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Mike Mayock's going to stop by. We should ask Mike about it. Mike, what do you think of Bill's interview on CBS? I don't know if he's interested in talking about that. I'm going to say he's not. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, this is not a drill. Get ready, because Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, hits theaters May 23rd, and I'm counting down the days. This is it, the biggest practical action movie ever made. Tom Cruise and director Christopher McQuarrie are back, pushing the limits of what action cinema can do. We're talking real stunts, real danger, and real edge-of-your-seat intensity, all shot in jaw-dropping locations around the world. Did you see that trailer? Tom Cruise free-falling through fire, Haley Atwell back in action, and the whole crew reunited. Ving Rhames, Simon Pegg, Isai Morales. It's like the ultimate global team-up. This franchise started almost 30 years ago, and it just keeps getting better. Mission is more than a movie. It's a high-stakes ride built on loyalty, friendship, sacrifice, and seriously gutsy stunts. So, yeah, I'm beyond excited to see Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, on the biggest screen possible in a theater, May 23rd. This summer, the mission is clear. Don't miss it.
What if I told you there was a way to help crack the case of the slugging metabolism and the disappearing results? The answer might surprise you. Every fitness journey has its unsolved mysteries. The case of the vanishing progress. The enigma of persistent cravings. The curious incident of willpower that vanishes without a trace. But there's a new breakthrough in the investigation. Smoothie King's Dark Chocolate Banana Metabolism Boost. A smoothie crafted to be your partner in helping to crack these fitness cold cases. With 23 grams of protein and 12 grams of fiber, it's designed to help keep you fuller longer and to help boost your metabolism. No more mysterious disappearances of your hard-earned results. 0 grams of added sugar and naturally derived caffeine work together to help rev up your metabolism. And at just 320 calories, it's the perfect meal replacement for anyone trying to close the case on their weight management goals. Don't let another fitness mystery go unsolved. Head to your local Smoothie King to try the Dark Chocolate Banana Metabolism Boost, also available in strawberry, pineapple, and mango ginger. Life is a workout. Make it a good one with Smoothie King. Individual results will vary. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
It's that time of the year, people. It's time to go and smell the fresh-cut grass at a ballpark and take in a game with your friends and your family. It is awesome. And the best way to do it is to use Game Time tickets to get you there, because it's the easiest way, Game Time tickets, to get tickets on short notice. Low price tickets all over the app. And that lets you buy more food and drinks at the game, merchandise. It's easier to get a larger group to come with you. We all use Game Time tickets here at the Rich Eisen Show. You can save up to 60% by buying last minute tickets through Game Time for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Game Time Picks makes getting those last minute tickets easier than ever. Quickly highlights the best deals in the stadium. The all-in pricing feature is my favorite because it shows you the total up front. There's no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN, $20 off. Download the GameTime app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, of all the prospects that we had on the show, the one that we really loved meeting was a kid from Boise State named Ahmed Hassanein, yep, who we had on the show because I noticed him at the combine, him barking back at the position coaches running the drills for the defensive linemen, where they were, you know, yelling at the kid, like, let's go, let's go. And he barked back at them to say, I'm bringing it, because he had a certain energy about him. Born in California, moved to Egypt when he was six, knew nothing about football, was more of a CrossFit guy, moved back here to be with his brother, who was a football coach, saying you should try football, winds up signing with Boise State, had no idea where Idaho was on the map. I just loved his energy and the fact that he got drafted. Sixth round, 196th overall, what a perfect pairing. Detroit and Dan Campbell, here was the moment he got the call.
Oh, man, my whole body got chills.
Right? Beautiful. Congrats. So well-deserved. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Really had an enjoyable time talking to this guy the last few months because I miss it. And thrilled to have here on the Rich Eisen Show after the draft we've been talking about is my buddy, former general manager of the Raiders, and, of course, a longtime NFL Network guy, Mike Mayock. Good to see you, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great, and a shout-out to you and the crew, man. I'm not sure the people at home, A, understand the preparation from not just the guys you see on camera, but everybody. That's why I love Stump the Truck. You know, you give those guys a break. You probably do over 20 hours on air in a three-day period, and I don't think people understand what a task that is, and to pull it off the way you guys did was awesome, man.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, when you were in the draft room for the Raiders, you chose someone specifically to stump the truck. Mike, did that actually happen? Did my memory serve? Did that actually happen, Mike?
Not only did we draft a guy, but we stumped the truck. It was pretty cool.
You did. And I'll be honest. Again, you're still a tone setter for all of us on that set and for NFL Network. Mike, I'm serious. I think of you all the time about let's give the kid his due. That it's his moment, right? And there's a lot of stuff that could be going on, and you know, we will have our fun, and there is time for fun. But you know that these are moments that are dreams being realized. And I literally had that thought in my head from you when Cam Ward got selected. It's very rare to have that be in your head when the first overall pick is getting selected. But when the first overall pick is getting selected and he's walking down the hallway as Cam Ward was doing, and T-Man, our producer, gets in my ear and says the Jaguars are on the clock. And it's just like, okay, wow. So the trade that we've been waiting for or could happen just happened. It's earth-shattering. It's monumental. It's clearly for Travis Hunter. The Browns are not taking him. They're trading out. The Jaguars are moving in. But this is the first overall pick in the draft, and it's Cam Ward's moment. And I thought of you because if I'm sitting here now talking about Hunter and the Browns and the Jaguars, this is his moment to hold up the jersey, and it's got nothing to do with Cam Ward. So we're still taking our cues from you, sir. It's the truth.
It's funny because I think back to going to the Indianapolis Zoo four times in the fourth round. Drove me up a freaking wall when the small school kids getting drafted for the Colts in the foot. And I'm like, we got to talk about this kid. It's the biggest thing.
You're saying if we go back to the ape one more time, and I think Charles Davis goes, it's really an orangutan, Mike. Like, so yes,
and by the way,
but it's true. It's true that did happen. It's funny.
You guys just played the clip of the Boise kid.
Oh yeah, right.
That underscores what you're talking about.
Right.
And as I listened to the clip, because I was a 10th round pick. People have no understanding what that's like. And what he said towards the end of it, well, and I wrote it down. I just want you to believe in me. And that's what you're looking for. If you're a first round pick, everybody believes in you. But it's your big day. Somebody believed in you. And I think it has to be celebrated.
Mike Mayock here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's start off the review with obviously the biggest drop that I can remember. I can't remember somebody having potentially a top five grade on him for some evaluators of note. And he winds up being a fifth round pick. What's your assessment of Shedeur Sanders drafting, Mike?
Yeah, this is a hard one for me because I've never met the kid.
Right.
And at the quarterback position, that's critical. So let's start with the evaluation. I mean, my evaluation of him, and I told you on the air, was I had a similar grade and a similar profile as I did with Bo Nix a year ago, but I had a second day grade on Bo Nix. Okay. Kind of feel the same way with Jackson Dart, kind of a second day grade. Quarterbacks typically get pushed up a little bit. It wouldn't have surprised me. If Shedeur didn't go in the first round, but not to go on the second day kind of blew me away. I don't know what happened in any of those meetings. I don't know what kind of presentation he put on or didn't put on. At the end of the day, it's what you and I talked about a couple of weeks ago now. That's in the rearview mirror. It's what about the fit? And there were some rumors, Rich, that he might be going to Philly as he was sliding. And I thought, wow. What a great place for him to go. Jalen Hurts is the starter. You know, he could fit in there. They have such an infrastructure for development that he could literally hide in plain sight and learn how to become a professional quarterback. And now he goes in the fifth round to Cleveland. And, you know, Cleveland hasn't exactly had a reputation for developing drafted quarterbacks. But here's, to me, the conundrum or the intrigue is, I believe in the intelligence of Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. I also believe in their new offensive coordinator, Tommy Reese, who I've known since he was the quarterback himself at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it intriguing. Okay, what about the fit? Well, they took Dylan Gabriel in the third round. They've got Joe Flacco, who's 40. Kenny Pickett, who at this point is a failed first-round pick. So on one hand, you go, yeah, well, they took Dylan Gabriel and their four quarterbacks. On the other hand, I go, wait a minute. I don't know how they're going to appropriate reps in training camp, and I don't know how this is all going to work. But, you know, Kenny Pickett's making $2.6 million guaranteed. Joe Flacco's making $3 million guaranteed. The other two are on rookie contracts. They can do whatever they want here. It doesn't matter. You know, you got an opportunity to earn a job here. And – you know, I had a higher grade on Shedeur than I did on Dylan Gabriel. Now, if they all get an equal opportunity, I'm excited to watch all four of them. I know what Joe Flacco is, and Joe will probably, regardless, he could take the first snap of the year, but he'll be on the roster as a backup. I'm excited to watch the other three kids get at it because they all three of them are kids.
I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it, right? Which is the I'll go here with this next one. From the general manager position, what's more challenging, conducting a quarterback search with four guys on the roster, two of them rookies, or James Gladstone figuring out what this plan is for Travis Hunter and sticking to it, where coordinators are going to be grabbing at the kid, saying, I need you in my room. I want you in this room. Obviously, the coach is going to have something to say about it. But this is a roster we're talking about here, and you're filling out a roster, and you got to figure out, do you need another wide receiver? Do you need another quarterback, corner? Or you're trying to figure out a roster in Cleveland here. What's a bigger challenge, Mike? What do you think?
First of all, talk about brass balls. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, James Gladstone is like 34 years old and he looks like he's 11. Okay. He's from the Les Snead School, which is a growing tree of general managers,
yes,
along with Brad Holmes. And they have a little bit of a contrarian view, which I find refreshing. And I actually wish I was more open and aware of. So this kid in his first move ever as a GM goes from 5-2 and takes perhaps the most transcendental football player in the draft in recent history. And I think the entire Jacksonville fan base has been energized. And, you know, he gives up a first round pick next year. But if you're coming out of the Les Snead School, you know, they do that all the time. They trust in their ability to draft and develop. So I find the whole thing fascinating, first of all. Second of all, is how do you use them? That comes more to Liam Cohen and his staff now.
Okay.
And I'm sure James and Liam have had a lot of conversations. But you got to pick a side that's going to be the primary side of the line of scrimmage. I come from the school that I think it's harder to find elite corners than it is to find elite wideouts. And I also think it's easier to develop a package of plays for a wideout than it is for a corner. So from my perspective, I'd rather spend the majority of time on the defensive side of the ball and get a package of plays to get him touches every game. The flip side of that, from some people who I really like and respect, they're like, uh-uh. If this guy scores touchdowns at a rare clip, that's what the game's all about now. It's all about offense. So he's going to be a receiver first, and we'll figure the defensive side out. So I'd be fascinated to be a fly on the wall to hear the conversations in that building about how they're going to play him, how much he can handle mentally, which they're going to have to figure out. And apparently he's a brilliant kid. He doesn't smoke or drink or have any of those vices. So I'm fascinated to see how they're going to feed him to get the most out of him and to make Jacksonville a better football team. You know, people talk about Shador Sanders and that story. I'm more captivated by the Travis Hunter story.
Mike Mayock here on the Rich Eisen Show. Which drafts leap out at you? Which ones you go, okay, that checks a lot of boxes, that handles business, whichever one. I know I'm going macro with you here. You go for it.
And it's kind of like I respect the hell out of teams that know who they are.
Okay.
That philosophically have they know. You've heard me talk about the Baltimore Ravens forever.
Right.
And it's for a reason. When Ozzie Newsome was there, they knew who they were and they knew how they were going to draft. Eric DaCosta was in the building with him all those years, and nothing's changed. So if the board dictates, they'll move up. They're not afraid to move up. If they have a chance to move down and the board dictates, they move down. But if the board's falling their way, they have the patience to stick and pick. And at 27, they get Malachi Starks from Georgia, who smells like a Raven, and I knew from about October that he was going to be a Raven. Okay.
Yeah.
He's got an edge about him. He loves ball. He can play nickel and safety. Mike Green, they get him at 59. I had him at 15 to Atlanta. He had the off the field stuff. So there's an asterisk there, but he's a big time player. And Emory Jones sitting there in the third round at 91. If he doesn't start this year because he's got some developmental components to his game, I think he's going to start the next 8 to 10 years at right tackle for the Ravens. So I look at that group of guys, and as you go down, there are guys like even in the sixth round, like Longer Beam from Rutgers, Peebles, the defensive tackle, undersized D tackle from – I mean, that's a Ravens draft. I love that. And then I think somebody who's developed a similar identity, and for 30, 40 years they had none – is the Detroit Lions. right? I look at the Lions and go, okay, Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, they know who they are. They get Tyreek Williams at 28. A lot of teams thought he'd be available late in the second round. They take him late in the first. Love his play. My favorite player and one of my favorites in the entire draft is Tate Ratledge. In scouting parlance, we call him a dirtbag, okay? And that said really lovingly, because he's one of those guys that when the whistle sounds, he might nudge you around the pile. He might spit some tobacco on you by mistake. He's the kind of guy that you love him as a teammate and you hate him when you have to play against him. He played through injury this year, just like a Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes guy. And this next kid, Tesla, most people thought that he was a fifth or sixth round pick. Brad Holmes went to the Senior Bowl, had never seen tape of him. The first drill he saw was a blocking drill, and Tesla was bullying defensive backs and linebackers and laughing at them. They weren't happy with him. So what does he do? He goes back, he watches the film, loves the special teams. He moves up from 102 to 70 to pick a guy and gave up 2 third-round picks next year to get a guy that a lot of people thought was going in the fifth or sixth round. And my point to you is not some people might say that's not smart. You're not maximizing value. What I would tell you is they're getting exactly the kind of kid they believe in their building. They do it every year. They don't care if it's the Campbell kiddie a year ago, the linebacker from Iowa 2 years ago. Everybody said, oh, you don't take an off-the-ball linebacker. And they're like, the hell with you. We're taking our kind of guy. So Baltimore is a club that's done it for 30 years, and Detroit's a club that with two new faces in the building have completely changed who they are.
Well, then let's also, while you're on a roll here, Mike, talk about a guy that I know you like talking about. Howie Roseman did it again, man. I mean, Jihad Campbell at 31. It was one of those moments on our set where we're just looking at each other. We're shaking our heads because he did it again. Like, it's Obi-Wan Roseman where And the number of draft choices he already has next year are remarkable. He's already got, I think, a 1, 2 twos and 3 threes for next year. And this is the defending Super Bowl champs who are already getting stronger. I don't know how he continues to do it. And I'm wondering what's the general sense of how it's done with him, Mike?
We don't have enough time for that, but yeah. I did tell you, I think before that, you know, in his first go around with the Eagles, you know, Chip Kelly came in and ended up getting ultimate power in the building. And Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, sat him down and they said, how do we get better? How do you get better as a GM while you don't have the power in the building this year because of Chip? And they sent him around the world meeting with soccer teams in Europe, GMs in the NBA, all kinds of different places to get a different thought process than just the way he came up through the Eagles organization. And then when he ultimately regained power, this is a brilliant guy that understands salary cap way more than most GMs. He's open to feedback from his people, and he's typically ahead of what he's a contrarian. He's ahead of everyone else when it comes to where the league's heading. And, you know, the whole league, 5 years ago, I said, this league, we've become such a pass-first league. What's the defense's reaction? Well, they're getting smaller and quicker. So what does Howie and the Eagles do? They run the ball more than anybody else in the NFL to win a Super Bowl last year. I think the guy's brilliant. I think he did it again. He tried to get up to get Campbell at, what, 22 or 23, apparently. Couldn't make the trade with the Chargers. And gets Campbell, who I had number 9 to New Orleans. Mm. I had this, and because of some injuries, he slid. Howie's like, yeah, we got no problems with the medical. We're good. He gets him at 31. They get the safety, Makuba from Texas, who's a really good player at 64. And then Rich, he traded down in the third round twice, from 96 to 111, okay? Which is about 15 or 16 picks, the equivalent of half a round. And with that, those two trade downs, he picked up 3 extra draft picks, 2 this year, 1 next year. Look at those 6th round picks there. Miles Hinton and Cameron Williams. They're going to go to University of Stoutland this year.
Nice.
Okay? and there are two talented dudes. This Cameron Williams kid jumps off the tape, but he's lost. Like, he doesn't have balance, has a lot of habits he's going to have to break. But between the two of them, trust me, Stout's going to turn at least one of them into something special. And I believe the Eagles did it again.
And, you know, he might have, Roseman, gotten Shedeur Sanders drafted by Cleveland. The general sense is that he was going to go and grab Shedeur, and Cleveland said, well, let's just use our final fifth to go jump the line. I mean, that was the general sense of it. What is just the philosophy of taking a rookie quarterback late when you've already got your quarterback situation handled clearly and knowing that if this kid does play, it's potentially bad news for you, not bad news for the kid, but Kyle McCord drafted there, right? I mean, there's other guys who are taken, like Quinn Ewers, bless him, man. I mean, he's there in Miami where clearly it's possible to start a playoff game based on the way of recent history there. Well, what is this, the general sense of a lot of these teams that you see on the board grabbing quarterbacks late here, Mike?
I think there are a few things, Rich. And I mean, if you go back to Pete Carroll, when they signed a quarterback to big money named Matt Flynn, who just kind of had a whisper of success in the NFL. And the same year that they signed this kid to big money, who's going to be their quarterback, they drafted a kid in the third round named Russell Wilson. And a lot of teams in the league looked around and go, wait a minute. Why'd you do that? And a lot of teams believe that you ought to be taking a quarterback every other year and look and be intentional about the most important position in the NFL. And, you know, let's face it, San Francisco, they move up to get Trey Lance, yet take Brock Purdy in the seventh, thank God. Right? And I think the way teams look at it is that as you get into day three, and if you've got some draft picks, you always want to have at least one young guy on practice squad. Okay, so you can typically cut a younger quarterback on final cuts and get him through to your practice squad. And that's how you learn about the kid. Now, is that somebody you want to keep and develop typically as a number two? Because that's part of the thought process, too, is we might not be drafting a starter, but it might be a cheap and inexpensive way to get a hold of a backup and get him in our building and figure out who he is.
Before I let you go, you got a good story of you calling a player when you were the GM? And memorable for you, where you're like, hey, your dreams come true. We just started talking about how we always talk about it when we were on the air. But you were finally on a business end of making that call. You got one that stands out to you, Mike?
I enjoyed making them. I thought Coach Gruden was the best I've ever heard at doing some of those. And he did a lot of them. We did some together, but often I just handed him the phone and we had to get on to the next pick. But
right.
I remember talking to Hunter Renfrow, who, again, he had a baby face and I couldn't believe we just drafted this kid. He's 5'11", 183 pounds and looked like he was a balding 11-year-old. And I got him on the phone and he was all fired up. And I was all fired up. And I go, you know who you remind me of? And I think he thought I was going to tell him a famous wide receiver. I said, you remind me of Doogie Howser. And that's when I understood there was a generational gap.
That's funny, man.
He was just quiet. He's like, huh?
What was it like when you called Max Crosby? What was it with him?
Max was awesome. We both talked to him. Yeah. We both talked to Max on the phone. What was cool was Max related a story back to us that he had told his dad the night before that he was going 106 to the Raiders. We had one of the early picks in the fourth round.
Right.
We actually had 106 and 108. And I got a bunch of phone calls the night before because teams wanted to move up to 106. And I told them all, no, we're holding on to 106, but I'll move 108, which we did. 106 was for Max. So when he got on the phone, he was talking about how he knew he was going 106, how fired up he was. When I got him in the building, you know, I closed the door, just him and I, and we talked about a whole bunch of things because we had a serious conversation, Rich, because, you know, he had some off the field stuff, obviously, that came to light.
Right.
You know, and he we ended up being a small part of getting him help after his rookie year. But we had a real serious conversation when he was in the building. And I consider Max a good friend now. And you know what's amazing, Rich? Just you touched on it earlier. I still get text messages every training camp from some of the kids we drafted thanking, and they're on different teams now, a lot of them, thanking me for believing in them at that point, which kind of brought a tear to my eye when I saw that Boise kid and that clip you had. It was pretty cool.
You're the man, Mike. You are the man. Thanks for the draft insight and everything. And you make me smarter, as always. A total blast.
I had a blast, Rich. Thanks for the opportunity.
Oh, come on, man. We're BFFs. That's best friends forever, Mike. You take care of yourself. Thanks, we'll chat again soon. That's Appreciate Mike Mayock. Everybody, everybody, check out he and his daughter Lee and the Believe podcast on the Eagles. And you know, I love talking to Mike.
I got a mock draft out of it.
Unbelievably. I wouldn't have bet on that.
No.
Rich Ackerman with a sports update. In the NFL, there is no margin for error. As you know, one mistake can change the outcome of an entire game. That's the same thing about your life and making sure you get the proper sleep so you get done in your day exactly what you want because you're focused and you have everything in order. And the people who can help you do that are our friends at Sleep Number. Their mission is to provide the players of the NFL and you with data and insights to optimize your sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Don't just take my word for it. How about 95% of the Los Angeles Rams? They've got a Sleep Number bed. 80% of the Kansas City Chiefs, they have a Sleep Number bed. 90% of the Vikings have a Sleep Number bed. You should have a Sleep Number bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because we can adjust our side of the bed to the exact firmness that we want and allows for working out or recovery. It's game-changing. So if you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store right now. See your store or sleepnumber.com for details.
Nordstrom brings you the season's most wanted brands. Skims, Mango, Free People, and Princess Polly. All under $100. From trending sneakers to beauty must-haves, we've curated the styles you'll wear on repeat this spring. Free shipping, free returns, and in-store pickup make it easier than ever. Shop now in stores and at Nordstrom.com.
When do you make that decision to go for it? I mean, look, obviously you and Les Snead are known for your aggressiveness. It's not like we haven't seen something like this before. Certainly out of Les before your tenure as the HC of the LAR. So at what point, you know, did you make this decision that maybe it wasn't working out with you and Jared Goff in LA?
Well, I think when you look at just the landscape of the league and the amount of conversation that evolved and revolved around the quarterbacks that could be available that maybe want out that don't, you know, he was a guy that's in that upper echelon of the league and performed at a high level that was really the only one that was truly available. You know, the Lions had said, okay, we are going to allow you to seek a trade. Everything else is speculation. And so when that became kind of publicly known that he had talked to ownership and Rod Wood and they granted that permission, now we're saying, all right, let's do our due diligence, really study the player. Fortunately, I do think that some of the relationships with Brad Holmes was helpful in facilitating a lot of that dialogue where it's not getting out, but there is you know, a certain level of mutual respect and trust on both sides. And really, it was as soon as, you know, it was made known that he was available that we kind of started exploring it. And the dialogue started and, you know, like's been kind of reported, Rich, both Matthew and I were in Cabo when everything finalized. And, you know, as much as I don't think anybody would believe it, it is true that it happened by coincidence.
So you weren't like, let's go vacation and jump into the 2021 season together, that those two are mutually exclusive. is what you're saying.
Yes, I'm saying, you know, we're on vacation, and then it's known that, hey, Matthew Stafford and his wife Kelly and a couple of their friends happen to be at the same resort. I said, you got to be me. I cannot believe that.
No kidding.
Wow.
So you didn't just, like, go to the spa together and run into each other in terry cloth bathrobes? It literally was somebody just told you that, and you reached out, and then all of a sudden you're now coach and quarterback.
I guess so. I mean, Cabo, it was a pretty unique spot. It was one of the few that wasn't restricted,
right,
in terms of, you know, being opened up. And, you know, I ran into Drew Brees was down there. I think Sean Payton, Coach Nagy, jeez, at some point. So it was an NFL. We had the league meetings in Cabo early.
Wow. Fun stuff on our spots. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show here on the Roku Sports Channel every single day, 12 to 3 Eastern Time. 844-204-RICH, always the number to dial right here to hang with us. Good times. What are you saying?
No, I was making a joke about what I did.
Oh, I don't know what that means.
No.
Yeah, okay. We don't either.
No, we don't need to.
I was listening.
What's happening over there? You got all sorts of garbage next to you on the floor. Right. What's happening?
Oh, I'm just getting stuff ready for the podcast.
Oh, okay, great.
TJ's a prepper when it comes. I watch.
Yeah. Well, this is great.
Prepping.
I take this very seriously. Yeah. Right?
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you're able to foresee WrestleMania moments and be able to play them back for Seth Rollins, as we did last week on Friday. He was very impressed with your breadcrumb collection.
I hope so.
As you follow them.
So. You want to know something funny? If I can, I know this is still wrestling related, but O'Shea and I went to a TNA, Total Nonstop Action. They had a pay-per-view at the Galen Center at USC last night, and O'Shea participated in a panel with some people, and he was announced as podcast host, then actor. That's O'Shea Jackson.
I mean, back here in the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. We've got one more segment here. Hyundai, everybody. Make sure that you understand what's going on with our friends at Hyundai, which is every Hyundai features available class exclusive advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you, which is very important, obviously. Hyundai has over 130 IIHS top safety awards since 2006, because Hyundai's always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. And IIHS top safety awards include top safety pick and top safety pick and awards to Hyundai vehicles from 2006 to 2025. TJ Jefferson.
Yes.
Your Dallas Cowboy draft. What do you think of your Dallas Cowboy draft? What do you think?
You know, despite the fact that we had that picture of me looking unhappy with Tyler Booker as our first pick, the more I've gotten to know about him, I don't know if you saw this Chris interview he did with Micah Parsons, which basically he says that he likes to take the joy. Joy playing football, play after play, series after series, down after down. He essentially likes to beat the joy out of them and make them not love football. That's what you want out of an offensive
lineman. Ezeraku and Revel Jr. are two really good players in the second and the third round on defense, front and corner. Jaden Blue, you got your Texas running back.
Yeah.
Your boy Blue. Okay. Shamar James out of Florida.
Saw a little bit of him this season. Not a lot.
All right. So that's lots to build on.
Yeah, there is. I mean, look, wasn't sexy.
Okay.
You know, I think everyone was looking for the sexy draft, but that doesn't really necessarily win for you.
And the draft of the future AFC champion New England Patriots.
Very well.
They're going to get deep thrown to the Buffalo Bills now.
Very happy all around.
Travion Henderson, man.
We were trying to make our connection in Minneapolis when that pick went down. I let out a yes! And everyone's like, what happened? I'm like, we took in Trevor Henderson.
Coop hit me with a FaceTime on Friday night. We're in the car with everybody. Daniel Jeremiah, Joel Klatt, Charles Davis. And Coop wanted to know what they thought of the Patriots draft. And when they said they really like Kyle Williams out of Washington State, Coop goes, I don't know. The last wide receiver we took from the state of Washington didn't work. And my colleagues are very impressed with his Jalen Polk slagging.
Yeah.
I'm proud of my son. Oh, there's TJ.
Oh, TJ.
First blush Thursday night.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.